For December the 16th, 2016, we talk about Let It Die, the Hitman Christmas Special, and we ask you about the most useful game advice you've ever received. Welcome to Level 176. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jala Prendes.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome, one and all. Thank you, Jala, for coming back again. Welcome back, Dennis and Ben, from your absence last time. Super happy to be here, talking and such. And people are probably getting this off of the new website. God willing and Creek Don't Rise, I will have migrated this show, like many others, over to the new hosting service with all the attendant benefits for that. So thank you for your patience as I've literally tried to figure this out for the past 2 years.
and if it is on the new site and you're listening to this, you need to go like tweet Cole or give him like an e-pat on the back, because that is a Herculean effort.
No kidding.
I won't describe it on the air. I was describing it off air, and it's entirely process. I know it's worth it, but every time I say the effort is worth it, it feels like I'm trying to convince myself.
And then I totally derailed you and started talking about something else entirely because you were going off on a tangent about it for so long.
I was just like, oh, so many images. Do I name them so they stay in order?
I wasn't trying to, minimalize your efforts here or anything, but I'm just don't stress yourself out talking about it.
Stress yourself out doing it, buddy.
Right? I mean, if you're going to get stressed, you might as well.
That'll be at thelevelpodcast.com, and all of it can be found from duckfeed.tv. That's kind of like a central link portal kind of deal.
It's a hub world.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the good kind of hub world where it's a menu, not a big place you have to run around. None of that active world shit going on here.
What up, 90 kids?
Another piece of logistics kind of stuff. We have the title of the year contest going on, and that is going to be going basically for the rest of this weekend. So cast your votes by the end of Sunday, December the 18th, and we will announce the results on the next episode that comes out after that on the 23rd, weekend right before Christmas.
Christmas present for us and for you guys. We hope you enjoy this as much as we do, because it's fun. I will signal boost it on the Slack channel and on our Facebook page. It should be the top link. I'll have it pinned to the top of the page.
Yeah, and you'll see a link to that on the brand new site as well.
These are show notes, but just they're a little bit better because they're on the new site. Can't tell you how, they just are.
It's easier for here's the process. I open up the page, I click the bookmarklet. You know what happens? I hit create link on little window that pops open. Boom, it's in there.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't have to type shit if I don't want to. don't be overwhelmed by the massive list of potential titles. Just kind of look through and follow your heart. You know, that's more.
This is not incredibly official. It might look official. I know it's on SurveyMonkey, and that's the classiest of the classy. But it's all just for fun. So dip your toe in as much as you like. Put in as much thought as you like. Personally, I will be satisfied with nothing less than an entire wall of like raking system notes and red string on your part. That's what I expect from you guys.
We're going to take the this year and then the previous 2 years, and we're going to look at the rankings and try to determine what makes the perfect title. Which I assume
we're gonna SEO this shit.
We're either going to achieve optimal SEO or we're going to uncover the true name of God.
Just like the movie Pi.
Yep. So that is the other thing. Check that on all of the places, and also on the page for this episode. My entire life has been consumed by this migration and by playing Mask of the Betrayer. Does anybody have a cool anecdote from the past week or two since, you know, Dennis, Ben, you were out as well. And Jolly, you do things all the time.
I'm always doing things, yes. But I'll let the guys talk first.
I went to Festival of Lights last night, which is at the Cincinnati Zoo, and they basically string Christmas lights throughout the entire place.
Did you run from cheetahs again?
No, there were no cheetahs. Everyone was the bears were just sleeping out on a rock in freezing weather. I was like, dude, at least go into a cave, man. Like, I can see the cave at the back of your pen place. Like, you could go there. You could be warmer than you are right now. And I didn't, but they weren't fazed. But otherwise, most of the animals were kind of in hiding. So it's really, you're really there for the lights, which are very, very pretty.
We have kids
at the right age to appreciate that.
Nice.
So side question, does the Cincinnati Zoo have anything for Harambe since that's like he's reached internet fame? Is there any mention of him at the zoo anymore?
I think that people there are actually traumatized by that. And I don't know that there's anything very official about it. Yeah.
I did not think to check the gorilla pen. If there was, I am certain it was tasteful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like the sexy Harambe Halloween costumes that I saw posted in places.
No.
Yeah.
Was that just a gorilla suit with a small like Cabbage Patch Kid that you carry around?
It's like a banana purse.
I don't even know. But I saw people posting links and I did not click on those said links to go look at sexy Harambe. I'm like, I don't need this in my life.
on Overwatch, one of the characters is like a hyper intelligent gorilla named Winston.
Winston.
And just everyone calls him Harambe. And it's really funny to be like in the chat and hear people talking about Harambe and be like, oh, I'm from Cincinnati. Like,
yeah, yeah. But see, that's the thing. Cincinnati can't be known for anything good. It's basically shitty chili, a race riot that happened in 2001. And we killed the world's most magical gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am a huge Cincinnati apologist. I defend it wherever I go.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. Like, I love this city. I've lived here for 10 years.
It wasn't great. He said it just can't be known for anything great. Right.
It's a bad rap, yeah.
If you look at the articles, it's on the top
out of
like,
the city. It's like a hidden gem, you know?
It's starting to get on like every list that you see of like top 10 best cities or top 10, you know, best places to live or, you know, mm-hmm. just like, you know, cultural centers. It's like Cincinnati is on every single one of those lists, so mm-hmm. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Yeah, I don't want my cost of
Stay
living
off
to go
my
up
art.
We don't need this to be another Austin or Portland. Okay,
my not that it ever would be. Jesus. At a very reasonable price.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Did your kids like the spectacle?
Oh yeah, they were all about it.
Wait a minute, Festival of Lights, isn't that just Hanukkah? Isn't that what they call Hanukkah?
I think you're thinking of Diwali.
I think it's actually called Trail of Lights because I inadvertently said Festival of Lights today because there's something like that in Austin as well. And somebody corrected me and was like, that's Trail of Lights. That's for Hanukkah. You know, it's like, oh, no.
But there's also a Festival of Lights I want to say it's Hindu.
Maybe.
Yes, it's India.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, yeah. Diwali.
Huh.
There you go. So.
That wasn't this, just that was a while.
All sorts of good lights for the season.
Okay.
Everybody loves lights.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What can you have against light? It's lights.
I have several lights in my home.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm not lightest. I got several lights in my home. Well, do you care about them, or are they just working there?
Ben, how about you?
I have not done anything interesting. I've seen movies and I've played video games for the last 2 weeks. Hmm. So, standard fare.
I gotcha.
Oh, right. We do talk about video games on this podcast.
Sometimes.
Occasionally. They should factor in somehow.
You know, just sometimes we got to get some banter in. How about you, Jell?
I ran a 30K, and then the same day I also turned around and did a belly dance performance where I did two different choreographies, one of which had fan veils. And I posted pictures of stuff of these things to the interwebs, but I did not post the videos of the performances, just out of deference to anybody else who was performing who might not want that as a public link out on the world. Right. But if any listeners want to actually see the performance, I will send you an unlisted YouTube link if you ping me. I also put this in different places in the Slack and whatever. So, yeah, that's a thing. I did that. It was fun. Yay. And
Resident
then also
superhero Jella.
And then also, I was recently, last week, in fact, on the Dark Insight podcast. Jeremy decided that he was going to invite me, and then he dropped out of it. So it was me with two guys who had never heard me before.
They had no idea what they were about to hit with.
You have no idea what the hell you're in for, but okay. But I was really quiet. I was not as animated as I was last week on the level. They haven't known me long enough for me to get that table flipping on them yet, but that's okay.
Just table
It'll
shaking.
Happen. Yeah, right, exactly.
You just jostle the tables. You just jostle.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that was quite fun. So I would recommend that you go over to darkinsight.net and go see the episode was number, I believe, 38.
Yeah, it's called Cosmic Cthulhu Whales.
Yeah, because of yours truly.
Yeah, and guess what? That's in the show notes. Boom! I got it. Good.
Yeah. You are on top of it.
Yeah.
So
is that about Dishonored 2 then, or
that I was playing Dishonored 2 a little bit further than what I did on the level when we recorded on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I talked about that, and then I talked a little bit about the other game that I've been playing that I will talk about in further detail here because I finished that game since Friday when I recorded that show. Oh, and one thing I have to rib Jeremy for is that on Twitter he posted like, this is my week, you know, this evening, and he has all these different podcasts that he's recording. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then I turned around and posted it like, okay, these are my evenings. And I posted all of my training and my art stuff. And I'm like, am I supposed to be impressed?
Like, this like, is my week. Jala says, hold my beer.
Well, I'm just like, so what? You're trying to be Gary or Cole. So you know, like, am I supposed to be impressed by that? Gary and Cole do that all the time, Jeremy. You know,
we just really know how to shame our audience.
No.
He's one of our peers now. Like,
yeah, he is. He's a co-host on this podcast network. So I gave him shit because he went absentee on Dark Insight. Mm. So that's all.
No.
He left me alone to represent the south of the U.S. So.
Ah, yes.
So anyway, that was the end. That's all I got for banter. I bantered.
Oh, it sounds like banter has been achieved.
Yes.
Awesome.
No more banter for the rest of the show.
Nope. Straight to business, by which I mean, you know, kind of the regular show. Not the regular show, that show on Cartoon Network with the with the raccoon. But no, like, you know, the usual kind of thing, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And we're going to get started with
The brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. I want to hear what Hitman's doing this Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely, which is really, really cool, actually. So this was recently announced that the new Hitman. Yeah,
please, Hitman was my father. call me Daryl.
I want to call it the new Hitman DLC, but that's not right because it's episodic. So the new Hitman episode, I guess.
Right, right. The Hitman Christmas special.
Christmas special is out and it's free. And probably the coolest part of this whole thing is that it is completely free to everyone. And then IO just linked to the World Cancer Research Fund and said, go to this link, the wcrf-uk.org/hitman, and donate whatever you can. The game is free. You know, if you feel like giving, please do.
Oh, very cool.
I thought that was really, really cool. And it kind of was buried in the article. I don't think they really mentioned it, at least the article that I linked to. So I watched the video and was like, oh, holy shit. Like, that was at the end of it. That's awesome. So, but anyway, that's the really genuinely cool part of it. Now, the really absurdly cool part of it is that you are going to assassinate Harry Smokey Bagnato and Marv Slick Goniff from the Home Alone series. The two bumbling crooks that that go up against what's his face in that series, Macaulay Culkin.
Right, yeah. it's weird how you give the like the last names that were never used in the movies,
yeah,
of
right.
these characters, but then you say the name of the actor. Like, remember that time that Daniel Stern tried to kill that kid?
Yeah. Yeah,
you mean the guy from the Wonder Years? Yeah, exactly. The voice from the Wonder Years.
The amazing thing is that there is a diegetic, like, in-world reason for this. In the briefing, it calls out that these guys, you know, have kind of – they fled the U.S., so they're in Paris now because they have been a part of so many botched heists that they're, you know, wanted men. But the insurance companies have realized that they have been such a liability to them that they want them killed. And so literally, you are going on behalf of the insurance companies that have had to clean up after they go toe-to-toe with Macaulay Culkin.
Why wouldn't they go after the McAllisters? They're rich. Like, yeah, it's their kid who's making, like, who's causing all the problems.
Yeah, go figure. So that is the in-world reason given for it. Also in the briefing, it's alluded to, I haven't watched to see exactly how this plays out, but they say they have heard random jingling bells around the estate and haven't been able to identify the source. So that hints to me that Santa Claus might be coming to town. You can certainly dress as Santa Claus during the mission, and that is featured prominently. But one of the final clips from the trailer shows an axe wielding Santa Claus sneaking up on a different Santa Claus. And I'm kind of wondering which. Yeah, I'm wondering if either of those are the real big guy himself.
You can't see the red on the suit. The blood. you never see Santa bleed.
Yeah. Kids would think less of him if they saw him bleed.
Fetch me my brown. Yeah.
My brown reindeer? What?
Yeah. No, it's the brown pants joke.
So this is just great all around. Like, what a funny concept. I want to be a part of that call. Joe Pesci picks up the phone and they're like, "Hey, remember Home Alone?" He's like, "Guys, I'm not doing another sequel." No. We just want to do a character model of you for a video game where we get to kill you.
Right.
Cool. That's cool, right? Yeah, of course it's cool.
Yeah. But, like, do they have likeness rights? Is there a voice?
I don't know. It wasn't in the trailer, so I'm not sure.
Did they get Pesci back into the game? I'm curious. Like, I want to see if actually if they got folks back in the game for this.
Well, that's the freaking awesome thing is it's free, so it's really easy to find out. Just a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So that's you know, the giving, the concept, and everything. This seems great.
Seems like a win-win. Do you have to own another episode of Hitman to get this? Are you aware?
That is a great question. I did not see anything indicating one way or another in what I read.
Ben, you're going to have to play this and let me know how it is.
Yeah, I was going to actually look this up and see if I could get it on my PC. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Good catch. Good catch, Dennis. Jala, I want to hear what's up with the Oculus.
Well, the Oculus has split into mobile and PC VR divisions. The CEO, Brendan Uribe, has stepped down to lead a PC division. So far, no candidates have been mentioned for replacing him as CEO over the entire deal. But the hope is that the company may be better set up to handle service issues with both mobile and PC, you know, since they are kind of branching off into different segments. So... there's not much more to that article, from what I've looked on the net. That is just, you know, as much as we know so far, but
yeah, I'll get out of bed when Palmer Luckey steps down, that asshole. That's the guy who spent millions of dollars funding pro, our Republican presidential elect, memes, happening.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. I think he is still one of the founding chairmen or whatever, something like that.
My thought was, like, as if the VR space wasn't fragmented enough, let's just take the biggest one and fragment it more.
Man, mobile VR has never made sense to me at all. Like, I know there's the Android or the Samsung Gear or whatever that is, Gear VR. All I can think is, the biggest difference isn't so much going to be the display tech or anything like that. It's got to just be the content. Like, all I can think is, okay, you know, we're going to continue pursuing high fidelity stuff over here with the PC side of this, but on mobile, let's just market the shit out of this. Like, let's make as many immersive brand experiences as we can. because I've seen conversations, I've read the articles. This is part of what I do in my day job. Everybody is clamoring to start getting into VR for video and advertising strategy. Like, that is, I don't know if it's like the next thing, but it is the next thing that a bunch of people who are probably getting paid to say so are saying is the next thing.
So when we say mobile VR, do we actually mean like the Google Cardboard strap a phone to your face? Or are we just talking like the Facebook, you know, videos that are 360 and you can turn your phone to watch?
I don't know.
Because it just for me, it makes no sense that everyone would be wanting to create VR experiences when no one, or a very small niche, I should say, has a VR goggles. Like,
yeah. There's a big push to get Gear VR onto people's heads. I was about to say into their hands, but that doesn't make any sense. And I think the Gear VR is actually like you plug your phone into it, either like housed into it like an R Zone, or plugged in like the R Zone controller. You know, and basically what I'm saying is something about this has to resemble the R Zone for me to understand it.
How many R zones is this? What? I'm sorry, I just need to be.
I mean, so we still measure cars and fucking horsepower. Come on. It's a simple question, Gabe. How many R zones is the Steam VR? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, it's strange. I don't know. I have no idea what's next.
I would love to not have a next until VR comes into its own.
It coming into its own, like that's what the next is hopefully going to lead to.
Gotcha. Okay, you're saying what's next within VR, not like what's next after VR.
Yeah, what's next for this thing, you know? I don't know. And everybody at work is asking me about VR because they know I know video game shit, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I've never worn one of those things.
I guess you have to buy one for research.
Yeah, I'm afraid of catching. Okay. I'm afraid of catching shingles off of somebody else's face sweat. You know,
buy it, and only you are allowed to use it. It is to not ruin the purity of the test that you're doing.
Right. And so and so the company pays for this, and then I will be your Oracle. Yeah.
it's not even turned on. You're just wearing it on your face going, the prophets, I see them. They're over there.
Hey, guys. Hey, company. I know that we're trying to figure out how to break into this space. And trust that to me, the person who gets motion sick, again, looking at the R zone. We're not actually looking to get into VR. We're just trying to understand what the fuck is happening. Oh, man. Ben, what's going on with Batman?
Yeah, so mine's a little bit similar to Dennis. The final episode of Batman, the Telltale series, was released today, the day we're recording this, which is Tuesday, so it should be out by the time you're listening to this. But in addition, the first episode in the Telltale series is free to play right now. An update to Dennis's story is apparently you can only play the Hitman if you have the intro pack that has the Paris map in it already.
Oh yeah,
just an FYI, but pretty sure the Batman is just straight up free. But the counterpoint is apparently the Batman Telltale series has been getting not great reviews, so you know, like, take it with a grain of salt.
Like middling, like sixes and sevens, something like that.
On the video game rating scale, that's bombed out bottom of the barrel though.
Man, I don't know, I'm deranged. In the literal sense, the range that I find acceptable is well outside. I understand that there are actual market forces that are swayed by that number. I am not privy to those.
It's sad because this was the game that really was focusing on the detective side of Batman, right?
Yeah, and that's I was looking forward to playing it, and I was kind of waiting for all of it to come out before I dipped in. But yeah, that's sad.
So I wonder, Ben, have you played any of it?
I have not. But I downloaded the first episode after reading this.
Yeah. I'm curious. You'll have to tell me if it's that they did the detective thing poorly and so it got bad reviews, or that they did it well and everyone realized, like, oh, that's just not what we want from Batman, even though everyone says it's what they want.
I think a lot of the complaints have been like performance issues related. So I haven't heard a lot of complaints of the content of the game yet.
Happened to a Batman game before.
What?
So that's never happened to a Batman game before.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think Arkham Origins probably had the best detective portion of, like, the Batman story, which was the only Batman game that I really didn't like of the series, because that was the only one that wasn't made by Rocksteady. But, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe this does a better job. I feel like the canonical Batman games don't really have strong detective portions either.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, them making the first episode free is a really good way to market this and help answer these questions. If literally any of us have played this, this would be a very different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be easier, you know, to talk about it next time.
Yeah. And it definitely worked with like Life is Strange, you know, so like where they made the first episode free. And I think that got a lot of people into it. So
God, Life is Strange is so good.
Yeah. But it took a free episode to get you to understand that, right?
No, I got it for like $7 when it was on sale at one point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. I buy first, ask questions later. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore now that I don't work full time, but you know, it's still an ethos at the very least. Yeah. I'm curious about it. Like of the recent crop of Telltale stuff, the Batman side of this seems to be, or the Batman one seems like the one that most would speak to me. And still might, you know, it's just a matter of setting aside the time. And it just, each of those series is so inconsistent from episode to episode, right?
What do you mean? Like with Walking Dead or?
Just in general, of the ones that I've played or dipped my toe into, and even like stuff that is not of, you know, like from Telltale, like basically everything that I know about these episodic adventure games is that like, you know, they can have a rocky first couple of episodes and then right the ship, or it could be the other way around. Like, it's just, it's really, really hard to tell how something is going to be based on one or two experiences. And the shitty part is like the narrative on the previous episode is already solidified by the time the next one comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Report back, Ben.
All right.
I'm not giving an assignment, but if you play it, please let me know.
All right.
And I'll do mine real quick. So Niantic and Nintendo, Pokemon Company, any of the number of conglomerated holding companies that are responsible for Pokemon Go are starting to do a thing that would have made me interested in playing more Pokemon Go, which is introducing some Generation 2 Pokemon into the mix. Generation 2 being Pokemon Gold and Silver. Some of my favorite Mons are in Gen 2, so that's kind of cool. The way they're doing this is they're introducing them as Pokemon babies. So with Gen 2, they added like pre-evolutions. So you would get like a Pichu that would turn into a Pikachu, things like that. As far as I know, you can't catch any of them out in the wild yet. You just have to pick up an egg and then hatch them. Now, the scuttlebutt that I've heard is that all of the eggs that you have in that Pokemon Go game that you haven't opened up for 4 months, if that, those are already rolled up. So you have to get new eggs or throw away the old ones and then get new ones again in order to possibly have a chance of hatching these guys. So
if you buy Pokecoins from the popular online electronics vendor, you will actually get new eggs from Newegg.
Sorry, I don't know. Like I appreciate that on a technical level, but it just didn't land for me. I'm sorry.
I just wanted it to be out there. I didn't really need to use anyone. It just needed to exist.
I gotta go with my gut on this one. Sorry.
The dad is strong with you, Dennis.
Taken in a vacuum, this is good. It shows that it shores up one of the things that's kind of a problem with Pokemon, not the combat and the gym battles, which are just terrible, but variety, right? Like, you know, if I all of a sudden start seeing a bunch of Ho-Ohs or whatever the owl Pokemon are instead of Pidgeys, then, you know, Yahtzee, at least for a little bit. Get me interested. Again, variety, please. Anything. In a vacuum, that'd be fine. Well, however, it is 30 degrees out.
Yeah.
Not the same temperature as a vacuum. So.
Okay, cool. You were about to say something, Dennis. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it also is kind of a pseudo nerf is the wrong word, but makes the game harder in a very subtle way, because these are Pokemon that you can only hatch right now, which means, one, that you can't get candy to evolve them except through hatching more of them.
Right.
And then, two, it makes it slightly less likely that you will hatch and thus get candy for other Pokemon that you have and are trying to evolve.
Yeah, you'll have it dilutes the pool. It dilutes mm-hmm. the shares that everybody has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. So go ahead.
I don't know. Like, I bounced off that game like a month or two after it came out, because like, I don't know what you're working towards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was interesting to like, okay, well, I've got 35 Pokemon weapons. So just let's see what the next five are. But it's that diminishing returns problem. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. what the actual name for it is, but like, if you have found 99 of 100 things, the last one is going to be infuriatingly rare, because with each one that you mm-hmm. find, the probability of the next thing that you get is going to. Is that the gambler's fallacy? Am I just doing the gambler's fallacy?
No,
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay.
Because the probability is actually changing from state to state.
Yeah, no, you're thinking that what you just did there is the gambler's fallacy.
Oh yeah, that's where you think you're falling prey to the gambler's fallacy. Yeah, regardless, that's how it feels. And you know, even though games are a bunch of numbers and systems working together, the feel is still a huge part of it. I'm still curious. Like, I know sometime this month they're bringing the Apple Watch functionality to this, which may, you know, make me engage with this a little bit more, but it's all about that battery, dog. Like, I just have to, you know.
Don't you know you can turn the phone upside down to put it in power save mode while you're...
They got rid of that.
What?
Yeah.
Just one day I opened it up and I'm like, all right, well, I'll go take a walk. I'm like, nope, you can't do that. You can't go into battery saving mode. No well, way. Okay. Well, my...
Did they, like, partner up with, like, external battery companies or something?
So behind the scenes, Pokemon Go is like Jen's jam, and yeah. has been since it came out. Oh yeah, she's level 27, going on 28, and it's up to like something crazy, like 500,000 experience per level or something like that. Nice. But she grinds through it and you know, gets a lot of fun out of that, especially when it was warmer and she was on maternity leave, so she was like taking nonstop walks everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like I would have heard. some unhappy commentary on that, should they have taken that away.
Yeah.
So
she never puts it in battery save mode. She's always playing it.
Yeah. I no joke looked into getting the Pokemon Go Plus for her for Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of a piece of hot garbage.
Oh yeah.
So not worth it, but
yeah.
If it was good, it totally would have been appropriate.
Well yeah, you know. And even just like as a little physical thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's my story. Any other questions about Pokemon Go? Why?
No, but when you said battery dog, I just got this idea of some kind of Mega Man creature, not Rush, but another kind of thing. And then I kind of wandered off into thinking about Pokemon and Mega Man mishmash together.
Oh, yeah.
So like, that's why I like missed the back half of whatever you were talking about just now.
so Jello, we're simpatico. When I said battery dog, I immediately pictured like a little dog made out of batteries. It's like Slink, but you know, not voiced by a dead hero.
It's because, you know, each shoots and leaves. There was no punctuation. So
I imagined a dog that just punches people.
Mm. As opposed to a salt dog who just threatens to punch.
Or is made of salt. Oh, God. We need punctuation and spelling. Someone transcribe this episode, please.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer it. I honestly don't know who put this up. Or which one?
Dennis.
What is the question that you ask the nice people?
Yeah, so we've all got our gaming Sherpas, and the question is, what is the single most useful piece of advice anyone has ever given you related to a game? So this could be a specific game, or it could be games in general.
Kudos on the picture choice.
And thank you very much for not just directly putting in a meme image of Peppy Pepper. I don't know, saying do a barrel roll.
I try a modicum of subtlety.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just a little bit of discretion for once in your life. Yeah.
Abram's the master. Yeah.
I got halfway through that sentence, but I realized it'd be really funny if I just made this a really dick thing to say. I don't mean it. Let's get started with Steven, who says, my older brother telling me to actually use materia in Final Fantasy VII, and even more specifically, to level your alls for healing after seeing my healer was Aerith during the first playthrough. Yeah, level your alls, everybody.
Yeah.
Oof. Because, well, I mean...
Just trust me on this one, little bro. Also, if you need a shoulder to cry on in about 10 hours, I'm here for you.
Well, see, the thing is, nothing makes Eris, your designated healer aside from some of her, limit breaks. No character is anything in that game. So, that's fine. Your character is your materia. You're good. Mm-hmm. You're fine. Jello, what does Sean say?
Sean says, if you're stuck on a boss or a puzzle and getting frustrated, take a break from the game and return the next day. I almost always beat the challenge in the next couple attempts. I'm not sure who told me that, but as a guy who is more than happy to angrily bash their head against a wall, thank you.
Yeah, and that relates to a multiplayer that we did a little while back. Yeah. Ben, how about Raghavan?
Raghavan says, never reload the broken butterfly in Resident Evil 4 and fear dogs in any game. Says fear the dogs? Internet.
Fear dogs?
Fear dogs? Yeah. It's kind of like Battery Dog.
Who is Fear Dog?
It's the dog that Battery Dog attacked.
Ah, yeah.
So what's with the broken butterfly? Because it's a gun, you know, right? But I don't know.
Yeah. I honestly can't remember which one the broken butterfly is. I just remember the seven.
It's one of the magnums is the broken butterfly, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it like not worth the ammunition or? I'm curious.
It's possible that Raghavan is operating on a level of strategy for that game that I am just not like reloading any of the magnum revolver kind of guns in combat takes a very long time to do.
Huh.
Yeah, and that might be
which I love one. That idea that like in the game the guy's like I've started reloading and I realized it was a bad idea but I can't stop reloading.
<I know. laughs> I'm committed now.
Just stop.
Let's see, Dennis. How about Michael?
Yeah, Mike says, a young Mike was stumbling blindly through the baffling world of fighting games. Faced with a near endless possibility space, he was overwhelmed. Luckily, one of his weirdo school friends was a heartstopper, Killa. She was a Guilty Gear player of some local renown. She taught young Mike not only special cancels, but important lessons about life.
was not,
and I'm reading through that again now, was not a heartstopper, but was the heartstopper, Kalia.
Huh. I wonder if that is a famous person.
I would say that she is a Guilty Gear player of some local renown.
Hmm. nothing comes up. So, maybe. Maybe, just maybe. Yeah, there's so much stuff that, like, you either get that information from somebody who explains it to you in a fighting game, specifically, or you read about it in a big book, or maybe you watch a well-commentated stream on Evo or something like that.
You sure as hell don't learn that stuff by playing the tutorials in a fighting game, because that's my method for trying to learn fighting games, and it is not yield results.
Yeah.
No.
Ben, as the person who watches the most Evo, like, do they actually explain what's going on, or is it just...
I have never seen any Evo.
No?
Wait, no, sorry. I was confusing it with the game. Yeah, oh. I have seen Evo. Sorry. Repeat the question. I was immediately thinking of EVE Online. And sorry.
Oh, no, yeah, I thought you were talking about Battery Dogs. You were thinking about Battery Dogs at the time. Yeah. That's why you blanked out.
Wait a minute. Whenever somebody isn't listening, are they thinking about Battery Dogs?
Pretty much.
They might be during this episode, yeah.
Okay.
Schrodinger's Battery Dog. If you blanked out, you cannot prove whether you were or were not.
I think we've all been thinking of Battery Dog all this time. We just didn't know it. But just, like when you watch, go ahead. Negative.
I just want to know if Battery Dog is a positive dog or a negative dog.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
But when you watch like streams or when you watch Evo, like are the commentators kind of describing, are they using the vocabulary of what's going on, or is it more like the drama of the back and forth?
Yeah, no, actually, the commentators are actually pretty legit when it comes to mainly with Smash Brothers is the one that I watch mostly. But they're really good about saying, like, oh, this person, like, canceled this tech in this case, and he was able to, like, do this, and that's not common among players. So they're usually able to give, like, pretty quality information as they're watching the commentary. Yeah. Stuff that I definitely would not pick out. So, yeah.
Let's see. Chase says, before I had access to the internet, I didn't have any way to get solid information on games. I was the older brother, and because of my dad's work, we always lived far away from our neighbors. What I did have, though, was displays of player guides at Walmart. 30-second glimpses at these pricey tomes got me decent understandings of Pokemon type matchups. There we go. Banjo-Kazooie Jiggy locations and the Ocarina of Time Water Temple. That guide was useless for the Water Temple. You're lying, Chase.
Strangely enough, I have a distinct memory of looking through a Banjo-Kazooie guide and seeing Jiggy locations.
Hmm.
The guide just
that triggered something
up
in me there.
Go outside and do other things.
Yeah, the guy just says, stop playing Banjo-Kazooie. that's unnecessarily mean. Jala, what does Graham say?
Graham says, use multiple save slots for Final Fantasy Tactics and many other games. Yeah.
Good save hygiene is the best advice, but I think there is going to be there's a very big difference between somebody who grew up when save slots were unlimited versus somebody who grew up like me. I had 15 save slots on that goddamn memory card. I'm not going to waste my money on another one because that could go toward another game. So it's going to be one slot per game, and damn the consequences.
Yeah. And then you were saying, damn the consequences.
Yeah. Ben, what does Sam say?
Sam says, there are two pieces of advice for Nier, both of which I got from the Dark Lids LP of the game. First is the chart, and there's a link for that, which makes the game far smoother to play. For those of you who haven't played any games in the Nier Dark and Guard multiverse, the games are full of BS side quests and many other mechanics to make the games hostile to completionists. This is absolutely by design and reinforces some of the recurring themes across the series. This is one of the best pieces of advice I've gotten because you can pretty much apply this chart to every single role-playing game ever. The second piece of advice about Nier is do the boar hunting quest as soon as possible. Even if it involves abusing level geometry and the magic system to do it at the beginning of the game. The reward for this quest is the ability to summon a rideable boar in the Hyrule Field style overworld. You can make the boar drift.
Yes. Oh.
Buried the lead on that one.
Beat still my heart. the Sherpa advice should have been play near. You can drift a boar.
Yeah.
This is a funny chart. I added it to the notes. It's very glib, but it basically sounds like if the quest is already done, do it. Otherwise, don't do it if it's going to cause you any inconvenience whatsoever.
Which boils down to do what you want to be doing in games. And
yep.
That's good advice for anyone.
Yeah. Says the person who platinums things.
You know what? Do as I say, not as I do.
Okay, all right, that's fine. It's fine. Hypocrisy is
learned from my papa. Ways.
Grind Papa, no.
No, I said a prime papa.
Oh, okay.
He is a prime papa.
There we go. Okay.
Prime papa material.
I thought you were talking.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I thought you were talking about like grinding through games. I was like, that's a ghastly way to phrase that, Jala.
No.
Genesis, that
is your
ears. Grind Daddy.
Oh. That's when I start my Twitch streaming empire. That will be
stream name. That would actually be a really good name for a channel. Nier. I really need to play Nier. Everybody's been telling me to play Nier.
Play Nier.
Yeah. Oh, damn it! Now I have one more. that was you, Ben. Now,
yep.
Yeah.
When the number of people who are telling you to play Nier exceeds the number of games in your backlog, perhaps you will play it.
You might be someone who needs to play Nier.
I don't think he's ever going to play it if that's the case.
right.
Let's see. Dennis, what does Franz say?
Yeah, I'll knock out Franz and Robert. Franz says, "Don't give up, skeleton. Did it for me." Excellent advice.
Did Jeremy pay you to do that?
Damn it, Jeremy.
And then Robert says, "Go down in frog fractions."
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that advice, Cole.
Did I tell you that?
You did.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a, you know, the less said, the better. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. John writes, "For Dark Souls, be cautious and patient. Fight one enemy at a time. Always poke around the sides of an area. Any points added to vitality or endurance are not wasted. All points added to resistance are. Shin Megami Tensei 4, for negotiations, always 1. Refuse, 2. Cheat, 3. End talks. Repeat until you recruit the demon or it runs away. In general, save hygiene is super important. ABS. Always be saving in separate save slots."
Yeah, that is the important part of it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because I have definitely had times where I'm like, oh, you know, I'm doing such a good job saving my game, and just overwriting.
never overwrite a save. Never. Like, even if you just, like, you know, kind of shift your balls around a little bit to be more comfortable, save after that.
So, video games need version control, I guess, is the idea, right?
Man, if somebody brought, like, a Git-style version control to playing a game like Neverwinter Nights. Oh, man. It just let me revert back to a state.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, just, man, I'm very thorough with the way that I name my saves. But even still, it's very hard to figure out which variable I'm trying to control for. Yeah, always be saving. This is an anecdote that I tell on an upcoming Monster Man podcast. But during one of the sales recently on Amazon, I got an Echo Dot for my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, you know, that's a little voice control thing. And when you set an alarm, you have the option to set a celebrity voice to be the voice of your alarm. Okay. It's pretty cool. Like, there's, like, they've got Jason Schwartzman, which is good. But if I see a list with Alec Baldwin on it, I'm going to go for Alec Baldwin. Here's the thing. A repetitive beep is kind of like a nice way to, like, get into, you know, like, you're going to hear it. Usually I'm kind of awake when the alarm goes off anyway. But then it ramps up and you're fine. When it's Alec Baldwin screaming, "Hey, wake up!" and, like, chiding you for sleeping in so late, there's something about, like, a human voice trying to get your attention that causes me, at the very least, to sit bolt upright like I just woke up from a bad dream.
Sir, yes, sir! Sorry, yeah. Sir!
Don't judge me, Alec Baldwin.
I've had it for, like, two or three weeks, and it just continues. I mean, if I was smart, I would change it, because it's probably doing just unbearable damage to my cell structure at this point. But there is, I say this because ABS, always be saving, always be closing, etc. If you sure as fuck need to wake up, I think Alec Baldwin's your man.
Always be Baldwin-ing.
Always be closing.
Well, no, it's just AB, always Baldwin.
Oh, always, okay. No. Brought it back around.
let's see here. Jala, what does Amanda say?
Amanda says, "Fallout New Vegas. I go into vats to aim while sniping and then go out of vats to shoot when trying to hit folks from long distances. It helps with aiming."
Yeah. Because it centers your reticle over the part that you're aiming at.
Hmm.
That's very good advice. I'll do David's here real quick because it's an echo of a previous one. Save often and in multiple slots.
Word. Yeah.
Ben, what does Stuart say?
Stuart says, "Back entrance into Blight Town. Without that info, it's less likely I'd have ever found Duckfeed."
Oh, good advice, man. Indeed, then.
Yeah, thank you. thank you, back entrance into Blight Town. The only entrance that I knew existed until we literally covered it for the show. and I had to take the actual hard part of Blight Town. and then Dennis, how about Tim?
Yeah, Tim says, "My friend told me the secret to playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game is jump kicking over and over. Saved me a whole lot of quarters."
Yeah. that is a good one for any of those beat 'em up games.
Yeah.
Jump kick, jump kick, jump kick.
Yeah. cover a lot of ground. Mine would be safe hygiene. That is the thing that I preach the most and practice the most. I forget who kind of gave me that thought technology way early on. It might have actually come from like a friend. Maybe it was Chris, my older brother. It feels weird that I even needed to stipulate that. Saying why are you just saving on one slot? Like, well, no, all these other slots are from the other people who rented this game. Well, screw them. I was like, oh, okay. And then like, well, I guess I'll save over this. I just made up that story, I think, but it holds.
That sounds like a thing Chris would do, and it sounds like a thing you would respond to.
Yeah. And the thing that unlocked Dark Souls for me was figuring out, hey, you don't have to roll a melee player. In fact, rolling either a pyromancer or a sorcerer is a great way to get into the game. And once I made that decision and flipped that bit, the game kind of unlocked for me. Also, go up, roll a sorcerer if you're having trouble with Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is the opposite of frog fractions.
Yes. Jala, how about you?
Well, I don't tend to ask anybody for advice very often, and like stuff like save hygiene, that was just like practical stuff for me where I was just like automatically doing that. So for me, the only thing I could really think of that, you know, resonated was when I started playing Dishonored and I was frustrated with the first prison level in the first game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's before you get your powers, which are the super fun part. And Gary was just like, look, just kill the people and blaze through it. Don't worry about it. And then after that, you can do whatever. You know, and if he hadn't said that, I probably would have had a hard time trying to continue playing at that point. So once he did that, then I was like, "Wee, this is so cool." Because then I managed to get through that part, and then I got to the fun part of the game. And then now I like it a lot. Yeah. So there.
Awesome. I don't know that I have anything to add about that, but like for anything like that where it is a stealth game and you know you're going to be trying to kill as few people as possible, like in Dishonored, low chaos and no chaos are two different things, but they're functionally identical if you're not going for an achievement, which you ought not be. Ought not be. They're all as
AK. Speak for yourself.
Ben, how about you? Any wise words you caught?
Yeah, so I comprised the list while we were talking about this. It's very game dependent, but I think the common trend is whenever I play games that are like highly complex, if I find strategy that works, I just stick with that and I don't really explore like any of the other ones. So a lot of the things that I've been helped with is people are like, oh, you should try this, and this strategy. This works really well together. And it's like, oh, I never considered that. So some shout outs, Aaron Sneddon with Chrono Cross, Joe Park with XCOM, Brian Sespico with Metal Gear Solid 3, showing me how the controls work. And then shout out to the Duckfeed Network for the streams that they do, because that got me into Faster Than Light and Darkest Dungeon.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Like you've kept an accounting.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. What was the trick with the controls in MGS3?
Just like
me curious.
Switching to like first person view for shooting and like mostly that. just getting past the first level, showing me that.
Nice.
Spent a lot of time in the grass at 99 alert, like not understanding how to play the game.
What's going on?
I'm supposed to kill people, right?
The sounds this game is making is telling me that I'm bad.
Yeah.
And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so I've got two. The first one is just for Hearthstone and really any game like it, but is to think of your health as a resource. And I think that was a huge kind of mindset shift for me from like, oh my God, I always want to avoid taking damage to, well, I've got 30 points and I should be thinking about spending 29 of those points in the name of getting the other person to the end of their, 30 before mine.
Yeah.
And like, anything above zero is fine, as long as you're accomplishing your goals. And I think that was just a big mindset shift that has made me way more competitive at the game. And that's becoming one of the longest running games that I've played. So that was definitely a good one. The biggest quality of life advice change, I think, came from you, though, Cole. It was when I was playing Dark Souls, and you probably remember this as well. I was in Anorondo.
Yeah.
And I think you had got me into the game, and you had come over at some point and were watching me play it. And I was, you know, I was doing the run up to Ornstein and Smo, and was had just been bouncing off them for days, like everyone does. And you just, it was, I don't remember exactly what you said, but I remember it was almost like timidly, like, do you want to, you should probably hold down like circle and run there. I'm like, do what? And I had gotten the entirety of that game to that point without realizing that you could actually run by holding circle.
Because in most other games that you play, the furthest extension of the analog stick is run, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Or it's, you know, they, Dark Souls very much drops a couple of instructions on you at the very beginning in the jail.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just doesn't bring it back up. Because
it's only like one click better than Rockstar tutorial messages.
Right, right. Yeah. So that probably knocked a good 20 hours out of my gameplay time, given how long it takes to get from place to place if you are not running.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of amazed that you didn't just like crawl under a table and never come out.
Well, and I used like running is more than just like going back and forth from place to place. There, like there's a lot of places in that game where like fighting an enemy or a boss, it makes sense to disengage and just run the other direction for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, or outrun an attack or outrun a pattern. Like that's it's a legit thing. Yeah, you know, that's the game's fault for not explaining that basic of a mechanic to you. Or, you know, not in a way that would kind of come across. Yeah.
But little did I know I was doing the lamest challenge run.
It's the we'll get there eventually challenge run.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sure there is some point in one of the games where if you don't run, like, you know, as something falls away behind you, it's actually, like, nearly impossible to do.
Sure. But
I can't think of any off the top of my head. Awesome. Well, thank you everybody for writing in. We got through all of them this time, which is quite nice. If you would like to participate in these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for those to go up on Tuesday afternoons. Thanks to either Jala or Dennis, who are the people who kind of take care of that.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing over the past week or so. I'll save you guys some trouble. Been playing Mask of the Betrayer. That's what happens.
Yay!
When you go from playing a 55-hour game directly into playing its 30-hour expansion.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I've been playing like a little bit more Pokemon. That's been like bedtime, but I've also been using bedtime to read. So, you
life
know.
Hack. Sometimes you can use bedtime to sleep.
Oh. Oh, God. Is that what my doctor's been talking about? Oh, I really need to apologize to them. You guys go. No, I don't have anything new worth talking about or anything that won't imminently be talked about on another show. So I apologize. I know I hem and haw and I feel bad and I go back and forth about how much I'm going to continue doing this kind of thing, just blowing off playing new stuff for the show. But I've done a bad job. We'll be back. We'll be back soon with some good stuff. I'm going to try and beat that game tonight, actually. Again, ooh. God willing, Creek Don't Rise.
Are you going to stream it?
No. I'm in no condition to do that.
Yeah, streaming requires like, you know, you to be sentient and like energetic and like responsive to things other than the thing that you're playing.
That's if you want people to watch your stream. Yeah.
Well, you know, to be fair, I think people would watch Cole stream even if he wasn't even paying attention to the channel at all, just because it's Cole and people like him. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I like him. I watch him on his stream. Yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to getting back to doing after this is starting up streaming stuff again. I've got DuckStream Awards to do.
Good.
Yeah, I got my Hex Crank shirt already, so I can be like repping while I'm watching it. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Neat. So who wants to go after this? Both Ben and Dennis, you've been away for a week, so it's up for grabs.
Do you want to rock, paper, scissors for it?
Ooh, yeah, okay. Let's do that. All right, ready? One, two, three. What'd you throw?
Scissors.
Oh, I threw scissors too. All right. One, two,
three. Why didn't you lie? Why didn't you lie, Dennis? Is this an ethical test? Are you trying to, like, are you guys fucking gaslighting me?
I did paper this time.
I threw paper too. Damn it. All right. One, two, three.
All right. This is like our rock version of Rosen, Cranston, Guildenstern are dead. I threw scissors again.
All right. Yay. I go first.
Why wouldn't you lie? you people disgust me.
It's paper scissors honesty. This is the game that we play.
Just go.
Yeah. So I've dipped very briefly into Transistor.
Okay.
Cool.
The new game by not the new game, but the most recent game by Supergiant, and by most recent I mean it came out 2 years ago.
In the order of things, it probably makes more sense for me to talk about that second, so I'm going to do that. Sorry, that was my hesitation there.
Well, it's just a preview. It's fine.
Yeah. So the other game that I tried this week was Let It Die, which is the new game by Grasshopper Interactive, studio with Suda51, and it is like a roguelike / Dark Souls / just wacky game.
Okay.
And I really like, I'm not sure yet if this is like a flawed gem or just flawed. So I'll verbally process that, and you guys can tell me where you think I'm headed on this. So the game mechanically has a lot in common with Dark Souls, in that you are kind of, you know, doing this hack and slash combat where, you know, right hand attack is on the R2 and left hand attack is on L2, and you're kind of trying to bait enemies into one-on-one combat. And it's very, you know, it's very tactical. You can easily get overwhelmed by a group of enemies. So it's all about kind of managing your space, baiting someone into attacking, and then kind of attacking them back. So anyone who has played Dark Souls will be instantly familiar with the formula for this game. But the tone could not be more different. It is straight up wacky. Like, it is Mad Max style post-apocalypse, where your buddy Uncle Death, who is a skateboarding skeleton that has a scythe that is a trick weapon that turns into a golf club. Like the scythe folds in, it's just a golf club, and then folds back out and it's a scythe. And he loves wearing funky like 3D glasses and making weird jokes and just generally zipping around being happy-go-lucky. You know, he's your main guide in the game. So if that gives you any indication for how the rest of the game is, it's pretty accurate. You pick up materials to build stuff that is death metal, ha ha ha, as a crafting material. The enemies will kind of use weapons like Roman candles or like fireworks launchers to attack you. So literally like those stupid YouTube videos you've seen. And yeah, it's just overall, it's got, I mean, I don't know what to call it other than like a Suda51-ness to the game.
I mean, Quirk, like he's operating Quirk, on the level of Quirk, if it feels like, you know, and has been for the past 20 years.
So that makes it endearing in a way that I think helps forgive a lot of the shortfalls of the game. But I'm not quite sure if it gets it there. So I love the tone of it. It's, you know, just refreshing and fun to feel like you're playing in a Mad Max, just crazy universe. As you run around the levels though, a couple things wear on you really quickly. You remember in Dark Souls Tool,
I'm the Dark Souls Tool. It's me and Gary. Right, the Dark Souls Tools.
Yeah. How every weapon had like durability, and if you used it for too long, it would break. You had to go fix it. Well, this has that for every weapon and piece of equipment, only there's no way that I can tell to fix it, and it breaks incredibly rapidly. So the game is designed around the kind of concept that everything is expendable, which is, you know, befits a roguelike. And truly, even your character is expendable. If you die, you literally go pick another, you know, avatar from a rack and re-enter the game from the start. So, you know, it doesn't ask you to take it too seriously that you're going to be constantly losing equipment. But it is just simply unfun when your weapon breaks in the middle of combat and you're sent scrambling to either switch to the next weapon or you're just left with your fists because that's, you know, all you had found to that point. And that I feel like they could have done something where, like, as long as you have a combo running, your weapon won't completely break or something like that.
And it's like it's a shitty situation, like outside of the metaphor of guns and ammo. To feel like your attacks are a finite resource, you know, exactly. Like that is counter to what I want to do or what that is counter to the anxiety that I want to feel or concern myself with in a hack and slash style game like that.
Exactly. And even on the macro scale, like they designed the game around the weapons being, you know, breakable and expendable. And there is a little bit of, you know, it's fun to just zip around and whatever you pull off the body that you defeated last is the weapon you're going to use to attack the next guy. That I think that can work. It just, everything has such a short fuse. And I so free, cause you know, in combat, when you're swinging the weapon is when it's losing durability. I so frequently had stuff break in the middle of combat that just that felt like they didn't think through enough. Like, is this fun or is this just punishing? And right. There's a big difference. That said, as you use weapons, the game has last hits essentially. So whatever you actually kill an enemy with gets all the experience from the kill. And people who play MOBAs or League of Legends will be familiar with that idea. And you can level up those, and that is kind of your main source of proficiency or persistent character growth between these roguelike dives you're making into the sewer system. So leveling that up is something you can do with some intentionality and kind of figure out what you like and then make sure that maybe you beat them down with the weapon in your left hand most of the way and finish them off with the weapon in the right hand in the name of either quickly leveling up something that's behind or, you know, getting something that you like even further ahead. That's kind of a fun element to it.
So how does leveling up a weapon work in a world or in a game where the weapons can be destroyed?
Yeah, I guess I should be saying a weapon type. So you get proficiency with,
oh, okay, all right,
with bats, or proficiency with your fists, or with fireworks, gotcha, launchers, or irons. You know, a hot iron is a weapon in the game. Like, yeah, so that felt well designed.
Does that kind of lead you to pick up certain types of weapons then, or kind of pick a type that you go after most?
Eventually, I think it will, but to date, and I've put probably 2 or 3 hours into the game, so not a ton, but to date, I've never found enough weapons to have my pick of what I could use. It was, gotcha, always just, you know, I had maybe one weapon or perhaps a second, and they were all on the verge of breaking. I think probably as, you know, I've started picking up blueprints for stuff, and, you know, there's a shop in like the hub or the beginning of your run where you can buy stuff. So I think I'll eventually be able to make a selection at the beginning of that. I don't know yet, this game being free to play, if it's resourced so that will be cost prohibitive for me to be able to choose a weapon, and I'm going to be stuck forever kind of picking up whatever I find in the sewers. Or excuse me, in the tower. You're climbing a tower in this game, so it's two very different things. It's sewers in the tower. Now that I'm thinking about that, it's not making any sense. I definitely went up an escalator, and then there, it was in sewers. So go figure. Yeah. So yeah, that piece of it works really well. And again, anyone who likes Dark Souls combat is going to like this game. The one really annoying thing is that the lock-on switching, you know, you press R3 to lock on to a target and focus on them, mm-hmm, which is incredibly important if the game is centered around like picking off one target at a time, especially if you're getting swamped, you need to quickly like focus your attacks. I haven't figured out how to get it to switch between characters other than completely unlocking and then trying to lock again. And just having some kind of cycle between characters, I don't know if it exists and I just haven't found it or if it doesn't exist, but that has huge quality of life implications to where I found myself dying in really stupid ways because I kept on flicking the right stick, expecting it to switch a la Dark Souls, yeah, and it just didn't. That on top of the fact that the camera, when you are locked on to an enemy, the camera only pseudo tracks them. I found myself more often than not if, you know, you get close to an enemy and then try to create a little bit of distance, the camera would turn and look the way you were running instead of staying attached to the character you were locked on to.
Oh, no. That sounds sloppy, Dennis.
It is. It's sloppy,
comma Dennis. I don't want to talk about sloppy Dennis.
Dude, sloppy Dennis is a lot of fun if you can ever get show in space.
Save it for Grind Daddy.
So it's just these little mechanical bugs. And maybe it's that I'm coming off of playing Bloodborne, which is a mechanical masterpiece, let's be honest. Yeah. And my expectations are too high. I don't know. But there's another side of me which is like, they've solved it. Like, if you were very clearly ripping off or paying homage or however you want to say it to Dark Souls and to From. So if you're going to crib from them, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, take the stuff that works. The core of the game is enough. Like, I'm definitely going to sink more time into it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see, you know, if you end up hitting that paywall point that I feel like I can't continue with.
Yeah.
In which case, there's just more games out there. I also have, you know, I finished Bloodborne, but I've got Dark Souls 3 like at my fingertips. So if I had expended my
I'm just being a caricature of myself at this point. It's fine. Play it. You'll like it.
Yeah. But if I had gone through all the From stuff, Let It Die would be heaven because it's right. More of a style that I really, really appreciate. Whereas now if I've got more curated From generated game, I'm going to, you know, it's probably my time's better spent doing that. So it could very much be a thing where I try Let It Die. I, you know, get a feel for it, go in and focus on the actual Dark Souls stuff. Yeah. But for anyone who's already gone through all that, I would hold up Let It Die as an excellent stopgap. There is some inscrutability in the way the world is set up, or the hub world is set up, in that you walk in and there's a ton of little text bubbles that pop up and disappear forever. Thankfully, they do go into like a codex that you can look up, but no one's going to do that. And I could not figure out where to level up my character initially.
Oh, no.
Like, I had to look up a FAQ for how to level up your character. And it's in like this obscure corner of the room that is so easy to walk by, and I'm like, why aren't there like flashing lights all over this? So you know, that piece of it was unfortunate, but I enjoyed my time playing it, so we will see.
So real quick, before we move on to Transistor, what's the free-to-play mechanic on this? Like, are you paying for durability or what?
I'm not entirely clear. So there's two that I'm aware of. One, when you die, a very cute insurance salesman or saleswoman pops up and offers to sell you life insurance. And you can essentially buy a continue. And then the other one, there is, so basically a level is a floor and you're trying to go up floors. And in each floor there is an elevator and you can pay money to go back to the hub world and then pay again to go back up to the floor. So it's kind of, if you want to check in, level up your character, get some new gear, whatever, you're going to have to pay a little bit. It hasn't been prohibitive to date. But there is a golden elevator, again, with a very cute attendant. There's a weird theme in this game that is apparently always free and will take you anywhere you want to go. Maybe that's a double entendre. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that I think is behind some kind of paywall. But I haven't gotten far enough in the game to really need that.
Okay.
Because the cost for me to use the regular elevator is maybe, you know, 2% of my total cash. So I don't know if, you know, going to higher floors, it costs more. But that could be another place. Otherwise, I honestly have not seen anything in the way of free-to-play mechanics. So we'll see. And I guess that my mention of the attendance sparks another thought. There is a little bit of when I started the game and you have to choose your character, you can choose male or female. I'm like, you know, I never choose a female character. I should, you know, I'm just going to broaden my horizon. I'm going to play as a female character this time. Chose her. And of course it spits me out of the starting area, not wearing any armor, and her quote unquote pants literally only come up halfway or come halfway up her butt. Okay.
Good job.
Yeah. Like, no good reason. Just, we're going to have half her ass hanging out here for the entirety of the game.
Asser.
Yeah. You know, and in the game where, like I said, your equipment is constantly breaking, you can find pants to wear, but they're going to break after, you know, 5 minutes. And so you're going to be staring at that ass a lot. So I was like, oh, that's right. That's why. I don't bother with this. So that is unfortunate. And there's a little bit of that oogly nature to it, which is gross. But you know, overall, I don't think it is so damning as to cause me to steer people away from the game.
Yeah. No, it's good to know that going in. You know, if that is the thing that's going to bother you. I'm curious about it.
If you were to stare at half a butt, this is your game.
And I'm really curious about it. So people have brought it to our attention as a Souls-like, and that's kind of going to be the mode that we're operating in on Bonfire Side Chat for a while. And so that, like, you know, this game, Let It Die, you know, feels like a natural fit. I am susceptible to Suda51's quirkiness and weird charm kind of stuff. But yeah, I will definitely play it and try it out, in the name of, research and stuff, but you know, no promises about it. It just, it seems like a very weird thing, especially the fact that they're trying this, free to play kind of strategy with it.
Yeah. Oh, two other thoughts, and I just lost one of them, so we'll see if it comes back. One, the counter mechanic works differently in this game than in other games, in that versus like timing an enemy hit, you build up rage as you attack, and then if you get your rage to a certain point, you can hold triangle when you attack to perform a special move. So that you know, counter mechanic is different, and it feels very reminiscent of Bloodborne, which is interesting, kind of rewarding hyper aggression. Which is good. And then I'll think about that second thought and tell you if it comes to me at any point while I talk about Transistor.
Yeah, Transistor. I forget. Is it the first time we talked about this?
I believe so.
I know David has played it.
Okay.
I think David might have talked about it in the past. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think he did.
Well, and I honestly don't have that much to say about it yet. So I was playing Let It Die, and Luke woke up from his nap. And I was like, oh God, I cannot play this game in front of Luke because it's, you know, post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, there's half an ass on that screen.
Yeah, that is the worst thing on the screen. Yeah, oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
not the horrible, you know, blood spatter and all that. But
I was going to learn about that. I mean, it's an ass.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll find a different game that he's okay to be in the room for. And I was like, Warframe? No, you literally sliced people in half. Bloodborne? Oh boy. No. Doom? Probably not. I finally got the Transistor. I was like, okay, it's downloaded on the machine. I'll boot it up. And it is such a gorgeous game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was the first thing that hit me. Just the style of the game is second to none. The second thing is that I really, really dig the narration that you get from your sword / companion throughout the game. It's all done in very short blocks, almost sentence fragments, not even sentences, where he's just like, ah, over there. Or like, guys are coming in, you know, just it's thoughts, not really prose.
Yeah.
And that works really well. One, because of the film noir, kind of shtick that this has going on. Where that kind of, you know, I saw her walk through the door, you know, fits really well. But then two, it keeps the dialogue, like I'm sure it is kind of at least somewhat procedural based on what you run into.
Yeah.
And it just hides that really well. The fact that it is kind of very short, grunts comes to mind. It's just like, huh, how about that?
Like utterances.
Utterances. Yeah. Like it's not necessarily a talkative sword, as most swords are, you know.
Right.
But but that just fit really well and struck me as elegant. Yeah. The actual like planning out your moves, fighting and everything, I had very little experience with, so I'll come back and comment on that.
But, right.
I've started playing it.
It seems like it's really up your alley, vis-a-vis turn-based combat and like customization kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think it scratched a good itch for me.
Yeah. Have you played Bastion? Are you a Bastion boy?
I tried playing it on a computer without a controller, and that game is unplayable with a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I bounced off it.
Oh. It's very good, but I think if you're playing Transistor, that is good as well. That is a good studio.
How's the soundtrack for Transistor?
Good. There's a lot of, I mean, the main character is a singer, and you know, at least the part I played kind of prominently featured some of what I assume was her work in the background as she's having memories and stuff. So it fit the game like a glove.
Gotcha. Part of the reason why I ask is, like, the game's $20 and the soundtrack is $10. So it's like, it's got to be a pretty solid soundtrack.
Supergiant Games is good at that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Good at soundtracks, not gouging.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If there was a studio I would trust to handle that right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like them and that game company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the thought on Let It Die. See, I told you it was going to come back to me, and I've actually got another one to come with it. See, it brought a friend. super obnoxious things. One, the tutorial area. I think you're kind of meant to die in, like lots of Dark Souls games do.
Right.
Only I survived, and then it took me to a cutscene where a sniper that what did not exist in the arena for before blew my head off to end it. So that just felt really, really cheap. That I had like gotten through this hard fight, and I was like, yes, I did it. Like, it very clearly wanted me to die, and I survived. And then just took it away from me.
Yeah.
Felt like I didn't get anything special for it. It was just, okay, you survived, so we're going to kill you. And then two, inventory management got really, really cumbersome. You've got maybe 15 to 20 slots to keep items in. And very quickly you fill that up.
Yeah.
That gets annoying.
That's a
might be kind of the, yeah, exactly. So there the thoughts were. I'm sure there will be more thoughts as I play the game more.
Yeah. Anything else from the assembled group about Transistor or Let It Die? Okie doke. Ben, how about you?
All right. I got an announcement, I think, that maybe we should have set up an announcement. One thing I forgot about, I watched the Game Awards a couple weeks ago. I don't know if we mentioned this. Did anyone talk about this yet?
No, I don't believe that we did.
Okay, nope. So I think this used to be known as the Video Game Awards, but it's they do it every year. They had it in Las Vegas a couple years ago. They had it in Los Angeles this year. But it's like it's a pretty well-respected game award show or whatever. They had a whole bunch of like premieres for different games at the show, like different trailers that were premiered or games that were announced. One of which I think was The Last of Us 2. I can't remember if that was announced through that.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Okay, that was cool. That was the PlayStation Experience, though, not the Game Awards.
Oh shit. Okay.
Okay. All right. I think they occur like, or at least the time they happened in Vegas, they were same city, just two consecutive days in a row. So they might occur in tandem. But the other thing I wanted to shout out was That Dragon Cancer won an award for Games for Impact. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that game. So anyway.
Yeah. Cool. Nice.
All right. Games that I've been playing. Ones I'll get out of the way. Darkest Dungeon. I'll do that one last. I've been playing Rocket League.
What is going on?
I've set a trend.
That's the meteor one, so I'll leave that one for later. I've been playing a whole bunch of Rocket League. They had an update for Christmas patch, so a new set of crates came out. New Christmas things come out. They have a new map pack. A few like tweaks and touches, so whatever. That's whatever. I played the game Super Hot for a little bit. Cole, I think you've played this game.
Yeah.
Have you guys played this game?
No.
I have not.
You shoot things, but you throw guns at people. But like the way it works is as you move, time progresses. So you control the speed of time by moving. So for example, if somebody shoots a gun at you, like as you're walking towards them, the bullet's also traveling towards you. So you have to like walk to the side before it hits you. But there's like a lot of time to like plan out how to dodge these bullets.
Yep.
And the cool part is at the end of it, it shows you everything that you did in real time. And so you feel like you're like a movie star or something where you throw guns at people and shoot them and stuff. It's this weird like pixelated art scheme that's kind of interesting. I played this at a friend's house, so I've only played part of the game. I don't know if it's enough to get me to purchase the game standalone. I think it's like $20-$25 right now. But I mean, it's definitely a cool experience. I just don't know if I want to pay that much for it. So
it's really good. You know, it is the most fresh take on that kind of first person game that I've seen, a first person action game that I've seen, like, in a and basically ever.
It is a cool mechanic.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it breaks down to like an order of operations puzzle, you know, like you're trying to solve each of these very difficult situations in not like not just an optimal way, like with the least number of moves, because, like, you know, movement is not like quantized at all. But, you know, you are trying to like get through it. So there's a little bit of trial and error if you're not, you know, aware of who's going to come around that corner. And that payoff, that Meat Boy payoff at the end is a touch of genius.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I played that for a little bit, so I don't have too much to say about it, but it's kind of cool. The other game that I've been playing, I played some more Tomb Raider. I finished the DLC. It's definitely going to be a slog if I make it through that game. The puzzles just aren't like good in this game for some reason. Like, I remembered like the puzzles in the first one being really good, and I like that game in my memory at least a lot. The puzzles in this one are very non-intuitive, and like the mechanic of the most recent like puzzle that I worked on, it's like this rope mechanic, which in and of itself doesn't make as much sense, where it's like you have a rope tied to your crossbow, but there's like these weird things you do with it. They'll have something that looks like you see on farms, where it's like a circle of wood and then there's like a circle in the middle. I don't know if that's a bad way to describe it. But anyway, you can basically tie your rope to this thing and then turn this thing in order to like wind up a rope or release a rope.
It's like a weather vane kind of thing.
I'm not sure what it's called. Yeah. It's like, like, you know, like at swimming pools, like how they have like those things that go in the water to make lanes. And like, you know, like how they have those like spindles that like.
Yeah.
It's like that, but for ropes.
Okay.
So you have these things kind of scattered around.
Sounds like a spool kind of thing.
Yeah. So they have these things scattered around the map so that you can shoot something with an arrow with a rope tied to it and then stab the rope into this thing of rope so that you can turn this thing. Kind of works, but it doesn't make as much sense. And a lot of the puzzles, like, I never had any like aha moments with the puzzles. It's more like frustration where it's like, I do this, and this should work, but you're not letting me do it this way. Where like they have these like weird things where if you like wind up the spool, it'll like raise an elevator, but then the elevator will drop in discrete portions of time. Like, yeah, like it's not like a constant fall down for some of them. For some of them, it is, and some of them, it isn't. But like, yeah, they'll drop in discrete chunks and then like drop completely. And like, I don't know. It's like these, like, the puzzle design does not seem that great right now. So like, for example, one of the ones I got stuck on, and so I just looked up a walkthrough on how to do it, and it's, I don't know. So it's been kind of unsatisfying so far. So yeah. I'm probably going to talk less and less about this game because I feel like I just badmouth it every time I talk about it. But yeah, I don't know. So I had gone on a tangent. I was doing the DLC for this game, so I wrapped that up this week and then started going back to the main game.
Obviously the DLC is something you access in the middle of the game. Is it integrated, or is it like you go to a place and press a button and you're in this different place?
Yeah, so one thing that's kind of nice that was similar to the first game is they have a lot of wide open areas where it'll be like a pretty sizable map, and there's a lot of like side quests that are like connected to this kind of like hub map, and then you kind of go along the world and you kind of are connected to these like hub map to hub map, but the entire map's like connected in a single path. So it's a cool, like, that's a cool level design. The DLC would just happen to be connected to one area that I was at. I think the DLC I got for free when I got the game, so it just like popped up like, oh, you can do this now if you want, and it just had like a special icon or something. So so it was well integrated, but the content of the story itself was kind of just okay. So I don't know. Anyway. Okay. I'm a step right away from that one. I'm gonna go to a weird one. I picked this up over Thanksgiving, but I got Star Wars Republic Commando because I had never played it before.
Oh, wow, that's a far cry back, huh?
Yeah, it's a really old game, but I never played it when it came out. I think I only played a demo for it and thought it was fun, so I think it was on sale for $250. So
it's like a squad-based shooter, almost like a Ghost Recon kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and the mechanics are somewhat unique, where the idea, yeah, you're leading like a squad of three other people, so you're a squad of four overall. And one of the things that's cool about it is as you walk around the map, there's kind of it'll have like a highlight of different areas where you can command your troops to go. And each of your three troops kind of has a unique speciality. So, like, one of them's like a hacker, one of them's demolitions, and one of them's a sniper. And so you're specifically ordering that person to go to that place. So it'll be like, oh, here's a good sniping post. So you should go there before we start attacking these people down this hallway so that you can cover us. Or it'll be like, oh, okay, here's like a security system. I'm going to send my hacker there so that we can kind of get through around this way and make it easier. It's been a lot of fun, even though the graphics are super dated and the gameplay is kind of clunky in terms of like you when you like shooting people and stabbing people. There's not really a challenge to it, and it's like not really responsive. Like you, yeah, I don't know. It's, I mean, it's a weird gameplay mechanic. So it's definitely like aged, you know.
You're playing this on PC?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It works pretty well with controller integration. I haven't had any hiccups with it or anything, so I've been playing it on that. Actually, no, I might be lying. I think I might be playing it on a mouse and keyboard. But, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, I've only played a couple hours of it so far, but it's been surprisingly fun. And just thinking about in terms of, like, comparing it to other games, like, it does a really good job of, like, getting you interested in the story, like, right away. And, like, doing a good job of introducing you to these characters kind of one at a time. And like, even at the opening level, it's like doing a good job of like saying, oh, okay, we need to stop this person, and having like a good, like forecasting of like where you need to go and what you needed to do. Like it does a really good job of doing that like a lot of games don't seem to do, you know, like for Tomb Raider, for example, where it's like, you just keep going down this corridor and you'll see random things, you know. Like here they actually kind of give you like mid and long-term objectives. So, nice. Yes. Yeah. So I've enjoyed that. It's been weird. We'll see if I finish it out or not, but yeah. And let's see what else. Let's just talk about Darkest Dungeon, because I've been playing that the most, I think, of all the games. It's super fun. I've got characters up to level 5 now. So okay. You start off with your characters level 0, and you can enter the Darkest Dungeon, I think, when they're level 6. I'm not sure if it restricts you or not, but I think that's what it's recommended.
Yeah, this is a small numbers RPG, so like 5 is huge.
Yeah. And it's very tough too, because it's like the first time you send, I think I've lost two people that 2 5s, because there was a like forced mission you have to do at a certain point where you have to like, you can either send level 5s on a quest, and if you fail it, one of them's guaranteed to die, like they just kill a random person, or if you don't do anything, like it automatically downgrades buildings in your town. So it's like a very much a lose-lose situation. So I was rather, you know, like have a level 5 die than a building get reverted, because you basically spend all your resources to upgrade your buildings, similar to like Bastion. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think one strategy that I found in the last week that's really effective is just increasing the max number of people you can have and just churning through new recruits. So like just grab a bunch of new recruits, do like a level 1 mission. Doesn't matter if they get traumatized or not, just dismiss them after that one mission, and then just that overall like your money increases. Because one of the problems I was running into is the cost of like upgrading like weapons and armor for your people, it increases with their level, and it becomes like really expensive when they get to higher levels, like 4 or 5 or 6. I assume 6. So I was running out of money, and I wasn't able to like fund any more like trips. And most of my people were like level like 3 to 5 or so. So what I had to start doing is just doing like easy missions with little like low rank guys. And that was a way that I could kind of generate more money, is just scarring these poor new recruits and then dismissing them immediately. So anyway, that's been fun. I think I'm going to definitely see that game through and try and beat the Darkest Dungeon, whatever is in store with that. But
yeah. I mean, is this so you brought this up in kind of the same breath as FTL prior to this?
Yeah. And I do think it's very similar.
Yeah.
In terms of its, I guess the only difference is that there's persistence in Darkest Dungeon where there's not as much in FTL. FTL is like a game where you play for, you know, like 1 to 3 hours and that's your experience and it's done. Whereas with this game, like, it's a long grind to beat something eventually instead of like a series of 1 to 3 hour grinds.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
So just difference in kind of scope, but they're, I mean, I think they're both good. So
yeah. Is there a style of play or a class that you're kind of gravitating toward?
Well, you know, it's hard to get attached characters because, you know, they'll just go and die on you. But I think the one of the concerns is I need to get more healers at higher levels because I don't have any healers at high levels. So whoever is my highest group, I usually just try and do short missions with them because they don't, like, I'm not able to sustain them long term, so I can't do any long dungeon quests or anything like that. The length of quests, there's short, medium, and long, and that determines like how big the dungeon that you're exploring is, and then it also determines how many resources you need to buy to go on the quest, because you know, like, once you're committed to the quest, you're kind of stuck there, and if you quit before you complete it, then all your people get scarred, which is kind of a big setback. Yeah. And you don't get any rewards for the quest, you just get the items that you have taken with you. But yeah, so you definitely need to plan accordingly for the length of the time that it is. So I'm only able to do short quests with my higher level peoples until I get someone that's more of a healer type up there. But I think I've played with each of the different types. I don't think I have a favorite one or anything. There's definitely a couple that I don't use, like the Jester I don't use, the medical doctor or whatever, the one that looks awesome, the one that has like the bird mask. That
oh,
bird.
Yeah, the plague doctor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't use him that much, but I really like the way he looks. So sometimes I try and shoehorn him in there. But it's mostly like
are those classes like niche by nature, or what makes them unusable?
So with that one, his main attacks is he can blight and stun the back two people if you're fighting 4-on-4, and so that's decent. But after you kill the first two people, he might be useless in that case. So it's. He's kind of conditionally good, I guess. Usually what I think one system that I have that I really like is so I have Knight, Man of Arms, and then Gravedigger in that order. And I think it's the Highwayman. And then there's like an order that you can put him in. Like if you put a Highwayman in the first position, he has a special move where he's in the front where he shoots somebody and it sends him a spot back. And then he has another move that sends him a spot forward. And then like the Man-at-Arms guy has a stun move that sends him a spot forward. So with all these like combinations, you can get people like jumping past one another and just have like a constant like kind of cycle of attacking, which seems kind of effective.
Yeah, it's like you're juggling yourself.
Yeah, it's weird, but it kind of works. It's like a weird attack dance. So I think that's kind of like my optimal party with like a healer in the back trying to manage everything. But yeah, it's a fun game. I like it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good streaming game too. I think it's fun to watch other people play as well. But
it's a kind of turn-based, so you can hear people talk through their decisions.
Yeah. And man, the boss fights are really good too. They're like, they definitely make you scared to do them because each boss will have some sort of move that like completely changes your play style. And it's like, oh, I have to do this, and this now. And probably going to lose a person, but you somehow manage. I don't think I've lost many people to boss fights, but it's always like constant, almost losing people, if that makes sense. Yeah.
So. I mean, well, it sounds like a game that's balanced for very good drama, at the very least, is putting you on the edge and keeping you there.
Yeah, and I don't know how, like, I feel like the balance on that game would be so hard to manage, but it seems to do a pretty good job of it, where you just constantly feel like you're almost, like, going to go downhill. Yeah. So, yeah.
Awesome. Dip, dip.
That's all I got.
Meh, you've been busy. Jala, how about you? I want to hear what you've been playing.
Okay, well, I played a little bit more of Dishonored 2. I haven't gotten very much farther, mostly because I have been damn busy and I just wanted something else that was more relaxing to play because I've had a very stressful time lately.
Yeah.
But I did get through, I don't remember where I stopped off the last time, but I'm halfway through mission 4, which is the Clockwork Mansion, which is a really, really awesome level.
You had me at Clockwork Mansion.
Yeah, it's this level, oh my god, dude, this level is so awesome. Like, I look forward to hearing when you get to this level when you play this game, yeah. Because it's got a great design to it, and there is a lot of, as usual, there's a lot of flexibility. And they let you get to a lot of places that I didn't think they would let you get to. Mm. That's really cool because, you know, that's my favorite thing to do is go exploring. So that continues to be awesome. And the non-lethal finish for this seems to be like a pretty wicked and horrible thing. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to see this horrible thing happen in this video game. So anyway, yeah, I'm like smack dab in the middle of that. And it's just like, because this level is very complex and it's got some, you know, variety of things going on that I have to pay attention to.
You're
it's
trying like, to okay, avoid right now, saying a lot of moving parts.
No, I actually, that was not it at all. I was just trying to find a way to phrase the thing that I was going to say without spoiling anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. I am not going to cause as many face palm trees to spring as you guys.
The environment's in a lot of danger, John. We all have to do our part.
Right. Plant a tree. Okay. So anyway, yeah, so it's been fun, and I look forward to coming back to it and playing it more. I really can't wait to do that, but it's just the time issue. It's kind of like when I was on Dark Insight last week, I was explaining to them, because they didn't know anything about me. I had to explain to them why I hadn't played any further in Dark Souls than I have, and it's like, no, you don't understand. If I get sucked into that, I won't come out. I won't come out, because it's exactly the kind of type, you know, is the type of game that I like, to the extent that, like, if I start playing it, like I played when I first played it, it was like 19 hours in 2 days. I can't afford to do that right now.
You're too many things going on. Not the trivializer. You're staying away from it, like booze, you know?
I am. I'm trying to like not get super involved in anything in particular right now. And like Dishonored, it's because it's mission based, it allows me to take a break anyway. But like with Dark Souls, it kind of just like ebbs and flows, and it's like, no, I would just get stuck playing that. And they were talking about like they were talking about like, what if it was on a portable system? And I'm like, oh god.
Yeah, that's worse, guys.
I would play that and if it was portable, and then that would be the problem, is that I would never put it down.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so I played Dishonored 2 a little bit. I can't really say anything else without spoiling anything, but it continues to be awesome. So otherwise, the other thing that I've been playing is Hotiful Boyfriend Holiday Star.
It's seasonal and appropriate.
Yes. Well, okay. Brayton gave me this game last year, right around New Year's. And so the season had passed. And I thought, well, I could still play it because it's still sort of the season, right? But I was like, yeah. And then it just kind of like time passed and I hadn't played it. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it on my computer and then I'll play it, you know, like this year, Christmas.
You caught it the next time around.
Yeah, exactly. So I was playing that. And since it's been a year or so since I played the original game, I'd forgotten the little things about it that make it really interesting. Okay. Like, it's lighthearted and pokes fun at Visinovs and Japanese culture and stuff, which is like on the surface what this game is. But then out of nowhere, it gets really fucking dark, serious, and evocative, and just has like some bug nuts, like completely bug nuts shit happen. Well, the Holiday Star is no exception. Like, you think, oh, this is a bunch of little short episodes, they're just like random asides, they're not going to have any kind of weird creepo. No, this is fucking weird and creepy and just what you expect from Huntable Boyfriend, except this is the holiday edition that is, you know, centered around all of those things.
Yeah,
so,
and holiday versions of things tend to be creepier.
Well, there you go. So I have a renewed appreciation for what is so interesting about this game because, you know, of playing this and being reminded. And so I have to say that it really is memorable and it is a solid play. Like, I remember that when I talked about it on the level before, the original game, I said that it felt to me kind of like it didn't know what it was trying to be because it was wearing so many different hats. But really, upon reflecting back on it now, after time has passed and, you know, like it's had time to marinate or whatever, like I really feel that the only reason why all the Bugnut stuff even works is because it has that really standard VisiNav, you know, dating sim thing going on for the first chunk of it. Like, if it didn't have that and then completely throw you off into some completely different direction, like, if it didn't have that first half, then it wouldn't be so jarring when you reach all the craziness.
Mm-hmm. For people's reference, when you say VisiNav, you're talking about like visual novel.
Visual novels, yes. That is my term. That is my shortened version that Cole has just elongated again. like it's got its charm too. Like it's got cute little birds in it, of course. And then they do little things like instead of somebody, they say some birdie. Some birdie did this. Any birdie did this, you know, and it's really cute. They've got stuff like that. And
someone's job was to proofread the text for that entire game to make sure nothing slipped through.
Oh yeah, to make sure to make sure no pun opportunity was missed.
Yes.
Well, and then like those are puns that don't make me facepalm. I just go, oh my god, that's cute. So it works on me. It works on me. So
it's commitment to a pattern, right?
Yeah, super effective. So, like, okay, so an example of the Bugnut stuff, okay? The first episode, and these are all super, super short, okay? Christmas tree thieves are turning, you know, like, turning out in force in the town that you live in and are taking all the Christmas trees. And then they turn out to be these lab-created monstrosities who have no body. And, like, you know, their creator had a love of Christmas, and that is why they like Christmas so much, and they get very excited about Christmas trees. And then, like, and it just kind of, like, goes into this, like, really weird and crazy place. And it just goes weirder from there. Like, I'm not going to talk about the more complex, like, why it's called Holiday Star, but there's a reason, you know, the name is what it is. And that's revealed as you play through. But when it gets to that part, by the time you get to the very end of it, you're just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is just, whoa. Like, who flipped the switch?
Is it brutal?
Yes, it is. It's like, whoa, this is dark and depressing and just like, holy shit, what happened? So, you know, but then they pull it out at the end where it's got like a decent resolution to it where it's not like, it doesn't leave you on a bad note, but like, yeah, it kind of goes into some dark corners. So also another thing that I was entertained by is that there are a lot of Phoenix Wright references in this game. Like literally objection and hold on and stuff like that, like pops up. Yeah. And then they refer to like finger pointing skills and stuff. And then one of the characters tells the main character who's doing all this, you know, referencing of Phoenix Wright and, you know, acting like Phoenix Wright. This other guy says, don't shout everything. You can just ask questions. You don't have to yell. So,
yeah,
but, so it's a lot of fun. And there was a part where you go into the high society Seagull department store and the clerk is going to throw you out because you're a lowly human, right? And then suddenly your character goes, I object! This is blatant speciesism! And I just completely LOL'd and just died laughing about it. So.
I mean, so clarify this for me. How has the society developed prejudice against humans if you are the last human?
You aren't the last human. There are humans.
You're the only human at this high school.
Yeah, at this high school. So there are other humans in places, but you know, you happen to be the only human who is in St. Pidgeotto Nation Academy. So, but anyway,
a really goofy thing.
It's everything about this game is really goofy. And I also like they have some other extra modes in there where they have like a radio version that tells you about other, you know, information that you may not know about this game. Like, say, for example, there is a character whose name is Okosan, and Okosan is actually the picture of this bird. And then also, you know, like the character itself is based on the creator of Hatoful Boyfriend's actual bird, that he owns. So it's actually like a real live bird, you know, that this guy owns, and he made this game. So it's pretty cool. And I also found out that there are drama CDs, which I did not know about.
Weird.
So, okay. I mean, like, everything has drama CDs in Japan, or it seems that way. But I, for some reason, I did not connect that they would make a, and now I'm curious, and I kind of want to hunt them down because I want to know what kind of voices they gave these characters.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that's the thing.
It's not just, right. And then the human saying, but surely that can't be.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's cultural appropriation.
So, yeah, but I
heard
I,
all the
I
pigeons were voiced by regular humans.
Well, so like have to say that Hatoful Boyfriend, upon further reflection and upon playing through the rest of this, is probably one of my favorite visual novels at this point.
Nice.
As freaking weird as it, I think it's because
especially
it is so
after
singular.
The deserts that I fucking led you through.
Yeah, somebody said something in the Slack channel for the level that made me think of VLR, and I was just like, guys, I'm curled up in a fetal position and rocking back and forth. I can't. No, it reminds me of VLR. No. It's there was merit to those because I wouldn't have kept playing them if I didn't find something in them that I liked.
But the story is funny. The story is funnier my way.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, it's funny for me to rag on it as hardcore as I do, and that's part of why I do it, not because it's like totally intolerable, because if it was, I would have already like, you know, literally thrown the Vita. I almost but did not do that. So so
no, but that's cool. So anyway, like that you save yourself this little treat.
Yeah, so thank you, Brayden, for giving me the thing, and then, you know, a year later I did finally play the game. I mean, like, if you give me a game, eventually I will play it. I say eventually because I never know what I'm gonna play, so, you know, that's the thing. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. Any questions about Hatoful Boyfriend Holiday Star?
No, I'm just happy you had fun with it.
It was covered fun. It, yeah.
The end.
And that's all?
Yes.
Well, golly, that sounds like an episode to me.
It is an episode.
All right, let's button it up.
Buttons.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this, the 176th episode of The Level. We'll be back next week with the results of the title of the year poll that we put out, talking about the titles from 2016 and 1 month of 2015, I suppose. We run this in a weird way.
And if you don't go vote, the title of the year is going to be Trump. So seriously, people.
let's get this out here. I'm kind of still not ready to joke about it, but that was a pretty good poll. Yeah. let's look at that here. So if you're listening to this on either the early release or the date that this comes out, you have until this upcoming Sunday. So you have the weekend to go in, check the link in the show notes. Either in your podcatcher of choice or by going to thelevelpodcast.com/176 to cast your vote for not just the actual title of the year, but the almost title of the year, both of which are abbreviated ATOTY. Yeah, and we'll be back next week.
Should have thought that one through
a little bit. Yeah, we'll be back next week. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do for the week between Christmas and New Year's. We'll tell you next time when we record what's going to happen there. Otherwise, you know, the usual kind of stuff. Please tell your friends about this show. If you know that they like podcasts and video games, say, hey, there are these nice people who do this show. We would very much appreciate that word being spread. And alongside that, if you are feeling extra generous, go to leave us a rating or review on iTunes. And if you're feeling extra generous, patreon.com/duckfeedtv is a great way to support the network and all the new stuff that we're doing. That's about it. Am I missing anything, guys?
Sounds good to me.
Have a good Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. If this is the last time you're listening, have a good Christmas. Have a safe end of this year. Regardless of what you celebrate, you know, it's dangerous. Ice is on the roads in some areas. People are drinking in a lot of areas. You know, just come back to us. We want you to come back. Yeah. So I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I'm always Jolichon, damn it. You know about this.
As she flips the table. Ben Merkleiser on Twitter.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles. I've got a lot, but I want to hear
me too.
Titles. Yeah, I want to hear.
Yeah.
I want to hear yours first. Jala, go ahead.
Okay, Hitman was my father.
Oh God!
Never see Santa bleed.
Okay, I have that one as well.
Okay, my favorite Mons.
Okay.
Gambler's fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Battery dog, comma assault dog.
Okay.
Schrodinger's battery dog. Grind daddy. Always Baldwin.
Okay. Yep, I had both of those. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you lie? Half-asser?
For why wouldn't you lie, is that stylized with an exclamation mark and a question mark, or just a question mark?
Well, you should have an exclamation point in there because you were very excited about it.
Okay. All right.
And tarot bang.
All right. I missed the next thing you said. I'm sorry.
Half-ass her. And then niche by nature.
Okay, I have that as well. Okay. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so I had how many R zones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can make the boar drift. but far and away my favorite, which I had captured as well as Jala, was the gambler's fallacy.
Okay. I typed boar three times and it came out as bored every time.
Damn it.
Okay. Let's see here. My notation for this is getting more and more inscrutable as I keep track of like how many votes each individual one gets. And Ben, how about you?
All right, got a lot of repeats, but let's see. This one's a new one. I said, usually when I feel good, bad things happen.
That was a
pre-roll comment.
Oh, okay, all right. We should save that for posterity, but that has to be in the main body of the app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Similar to Hitman was my daddy, I have Call Me Daryl. I had a stylized how many R zones is this? Question mark. All right. And then I also had gambler's fallacy. I also had battery dog. I had boar drifting is how I stylized it. I also had grind daddy, also had always be Baldwin-ing. And then I had sloppy Dennis, Dark Souls is the opposite of frog fractions, and then rock paper honesty.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that to capture all of them.
Yeah.
Rock paper honesty is pretty good. It'll sound like we're doing like a takedown on a rock paper shotgun. So for mine, like most of mine were repeats. We killed the most magical gorilla.
Oh no,
it's too soon, dude.
Yeah, way too soon. I have several lights in my home.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen Santa bleed. Battery dog. Grind daddy, always Baldwin, sloppy Dennis, and niche by nature. So I'm torn because gambler's fallacy has the most like the most recurrences. Battery dog's pretty good.
Battery dog's pretty solid.
Dog,
yeah.
Happened over and over
it
again.
Did. It was a running theme.
Yeah.
So
see, I think that makes it too obvious for the title though.
Does it?
Battery dog drifting. Just like all throughout the whole episode.
Synthesis is against the rules. So Dennis's argument is that it's too obvious. I like it for its simplicity. Gambler's fallacy is also really good. It's a matter of what do we want to have the title represent, because Battery Dog is talking about the grind thing, but I forget what the Gambler's fallacy was talking about. Also,
somebody spoke with Gambler's fallacy.
Both of those were about the Pokemon Go thing, so I can't even pull this out. It might just have to be Gambler's fallacy. Okay, I've convinced myself.
Well, who needs any of us then? Yeah. Well, damn it.
No. Well,
it's a benevolent dictatorship.
No, here's the thing. All three of you found Gambler's fallacy. I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cole, you just made me think of the scene from 30 Rock where Jack Donaghy debates himself.
Because he's the only worthy opponent.
Yeah. He has a jack off.
I need to watch 30 Rock again. Yeah, so Gambler's fallacy it is. Mm-hmm. Oh man,
it's a tough competition this week.
It's a good week.
Very stiff week for titles. Mm-hmm. I never hear about people sticking around to listen to these, so if you stick around and listen to this stuff, let me know, because go ahead.
Someone did mention it in the Slack, I think from last week.
Uh-huh.
Someone mentioned a title that had their name. It was something John, whatever.
Oh, John Roulette. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So
it wasn't his name. It was his assassin name, because he's a secret agent man.
The name of his assassin. Yeah. Yeah. But let us know. Cause like we can either do this after the end, or I can pull something funny from the pre-roll to put at the end, or we can just end it on a thing. I like letting people into the process, because this is fun. I have a lot of fun picking these.
Good stuff.
The equivalent of a candid photo.
It's a benevolent dictatorship. Yeah, I'm glad that you have fun, Cole.
Well, I also end episodes like with I keep in the part where we say like, hey, have a great week, and you know, take care. I hope that thing works out for you, like that kind of stuff. Like, it's
no, cut it out. We shouldn't be nice to the audience.
No, not even talking to them, but just like us, like saying goodbye to each other. Like, I just,
aww.
Yeah, I always like we.
I
so,
don't like you guys. What's this all about?
Oh, jeez, I'm misrepresenting it.
I'm a salty dog today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's a good reference.
Cool. Well, I need to go, because I'm going to try and get as far into Mask of the Betrayer as I can. Maybe beat it tonight, possibly.
Well, whatever happened to that free play thing you were talking about?
Oh no, that'll be next week.
Is what we would do.
Yeah. I was mistaken. I thought this was going to be the last week we recorded, but we're going to do it next week too.
Great.
So okay. I apologize, Jala.
That's great. It's fine.
Yeah. So the week of the 27th.
Yes.
Like 2 weeks from now. I'll be in town. I've cleared off that night, or I'm not doing anything that night. So I figured if we wanted to do a Tuesday night thing, we could, but.
Okay. I would rather do like a hangout thing than record something. I'm going to be coming back. My plan is to come back on that Tuesday to be back in town. So I should be around to hang.
Yeah. I suppose I say when I record something, maybe like get together if we want to do like a Jackbox or record something in person. That's an option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about that. But I'm gonna be in town.
Okay. Sure. Bye.
Bye, Jala.
I don't have to have any part of this. Goodbye now.
Bye, Jala. Sleep well.